This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bishop Finley, 106.7 The Fan. All right, I think the bar is opening. People are coming in. I'm very curious if Beasley wasn't allowed in until now. Because
Beasley could have came in whenever he felt like it.
All the cannon clubs rolling in here. All hell's breaking loose.
Oh, Lord.
Bob Biagi's here. Are happening, man. Things are happening.
Biagi. What's up, brother?
Biagi is here.
See, Biagi knows how to follow directions.
Look, he's got
see
his
what I'm
bracket.
Saying, Biagi?
Well, okay.
He already filled one out.
This might be Tischler's now.
He filled one out.
Candy Club boys in the building. The Weingartner boys in the building. How we doing, fellas? Everybody's
up, brother? How y'all doing?
We're getting fired up for this game. What's up, man?
How you doing, brother?
We are a little more than an hour away from the suite, man. Show me when we're not on. There's a remarkable ability for people to just want to talk when you're live on the radio. All right, and Tischler, good news. Biagi has a bracket you can have.
Yeah. Man, Mitch got about 8 brackets filled out already.
Yeah, but nobody has a physical bracket, B. That's the whole point of the B. Mitch and Finley private. Oh, hell yeah. I love Candy Club gear.
I love gear.
All right, things are moving here. We're hoping Nikki Jabal will be able to join us. She might be on a Zoom. She says call again, Landfill. So Nikki Jabal is going to join us in just a moment.
North Carolina. Maybe
we might have to re-rack to Petey Pablo for her. I want to talk to Nikki because I my thought is as the tournament takes over, we're just going to get inundated by college hoops and we won't have what I think is a good conversation to have about Debo and kind of the Commanders. Thank you, Bees. I think this contract work from yesterday – somebody has reached out to me and kind of said the biggest point of this actually helps Washington and not necessarily – Debo gets paid now, and he's happy with that, but it removes the possibility of some dead money coming off the 26th season.
Yeah.
Joining us now is Nikki Jabala from the Washington Post. What's up, Nick? How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Nikki,
you were waiting for bars and everything, and you weren't there.
Yeah, man. It was disappointing, Nikki. Got to be honest.
I mean, I'm still working on it, you know.
I thought you were blowing us off for Nate Herbig, but just telling you the truth. Tell me what you know and what you think about the Debo reworked deal from yesterday.
Yeah, I think it was a bit overblown. I don't think it was totally reworked. He had a $15.4 million option bonus that was going to, I mean, it's not like a typical bonus where you think they decline it. And, I mean, he's going to be on a team. You don't trade for a guy and don't play him. And, you know, you don't cut him 2 days later. So that $15.4 million bonus was already getting picked up. And the option for the team was how they wanted to schedule it. Did they want the full cap charge this year or did they want to spread it out over a maximum of 5 years? So they decided, ultimately, to put it all on this year. So the way I view this is, I mean, the only sweetener was adding $3 million in incentives. What they didn't do was extend them. And what they didn't do was totally rework the deal to give them, you know, a ton more money. So I don't know that it's a true sweetener. I think the way it was worded was insinuated to be more than it was. But all it was, you know, we knew they were picking up that option. So we knew he was coming with a $17.5 million contract. They just tacked on $3 million in incentives.
So. Well, when Schefter specifically names the agent in the tweet, I mean, that stuff has become so transparent that the
We all know agents, the game now. It's just kind of silly.
Agent wanted to push it because, you know what? He wants other clients.
Yeah.
So he can say, see what I did for Debo?
Right.
I got him all the guaranteed money. Dude, he had an option bonus.
He
was about to get that anyway.
He was getting 15 and a half, and then
there's nothing new in there. Oh, there's such good luck. They really love him. They guarantee us. No, come on.
That's
part of the game. We all know it, but.
Right.
Yeah, it's like that. But, JP asked me this question just a while ago, and I wonder for you. All the players they brought in, re-signed guys, trades and all, what was your favorite move?
Tunsil. I think it's the first time they really put significant investment in the offensive line. And I've never understood why teams don't put more money into the offensive line. It's so paramount. It's not a sexy position, but if you got a bad O-line, your quarterback gets creamed and you have no run game. And we've seen it year over year, team after team. So I've never understood why teams don't put more into that. The good ones have great offensive lines. I mean, look at Philly. I mean, they have a great offensive line and have for years. You can't replicate that, but you try to build one over the years and keep them together. So I like that they made a significant investment there. That was probably my favorite move. It was the most costly, which is fitting for me. I'm the type that never likes anything on the clearance rack. It has to be the most expensive, and somehow I just inevitably like it more. But I also like Jonathan Jones, and I know he's a smaller corner, but he's versatile. I like his story. I like how he really had to earn his way into the active roster. He's played inside. He's played outside. He's played safety. I really like the way he plays. He's a physical player. Doesn't play like he's, 5'11", 185. So he's probably my second favorite. Debo's phenomenal if he can play like he did in 21. But he hasn't been at that in a few years. So, clearly what they're trying to do with this team is part of their plan, really, is they get a bunch of guys who are, have some incentive to really want to play for more and play hard and play well. And they've gotten that. They got it out of guys last year. Can they get it out of Debo and the ones they signed this year? We'll see.
They said they wanted to play violent. They brought some guys in that are violent.
Oh, yeah.
Because that little dude, Jonathan Jones, is a violent dude, though. He ain't that big.
He's a physical
player,
man.
But he will lay you out.
Though. Harris, too.
Harris is, he does it. So I like they, what they talk, they do. They don't just talk about it and never get it done. But what they talk about, they try to get done.
Right. And I like that. It's refreshing. I mean, you don't see that in many other places. They talk about building through the draft, and they don't always do it. I mean, look at this team. All these guys are on – almost all of them are on one-year deals. They're really trying to build through the draft. And they have these veteran guys in for the first couple years to really set the foundation, set the tone. And then you hand it over to the younger guys. And they've stuck to the plan. They don't change the plan every year, which is something I felt like, no disrespect to the last regime, but that's something I felt like they did every year.
You're not disrespecting. You're speaking the straight change, truth. They didn't know what they was going to be the next year.
Right.
That is true. Right. And dude, that wasn't just Ron. That goes back Bruce, all of them. I mean, even Mike Shanahan, depending how far back you want to go.
Yeah.
Having the quarterback position figured out, though, allows you to have a clearer vision of where you're going. You know
100%.
What I mean?
100%.
Having Jaden, it's like, all right, we know we've got this now. Let's build everything else.
Yeah.
That is still such a massive part of this. And I'm glad you said the build through the draft thing, Nikki. Like, they're still trying to do that and plan on doing that. But that's a much longer process. And part of the one-year deals is they have to supplement what – I mean, if you look at 4 years of Ron's drafts or even go back – like, a reasonable amount of drafts to look at would probably be 5 years. So you can go back to 19, which wasn't Ron. That was Bruce's last year. The base that was built for this team was – incredibly hollow.
Yeah.
It was the office of the D lineman.
Yeah.
I've always felt if they were consistent with the way that they built it, then you can plug a quarterback into that. But every year it changed. So no matter what quarterback you got you would have brought in, he would have had problems.
Right. Right.
You know, in 1 year, they came in, got Jaden, but they had enough pieces around him with his exceptional ability, too, to make this thing just jump. You know,
right.
I don't think they got anywhere close to that in the 4 years prior.
I also don't know that the plug and play really works when they say, let's build up every position and then try to plug in a quarterback and make it work. I don't think that. I think the only thing that really works is you got to get an elite quarterback. I mean, that's how valuable that position is to this point. I fully believe it. I know everybody in the NFL probably believes it, that it's the hardest and most valuable position in any sport because so much relies on that one player.
Well, and what's really fascinating to that point, Nikki, is we're talking with our friend Nikki Jobvalla here on the Rude Guest Hotline. You can give Nikki a follow at Nikki Jobvalla. A buddy of mine, a buddy of Bemidji's, Ryan Keel, played D-line for 10-plus seasons in the NFL. And he has this theory, which I think you could really validate, that Denver Broncos team that you may have covered, that Broncos team that beat Cam Newton, and that – I mean, as much as, you know, Peyton was on that team and he got to walk off into the sunset, that was Von Miller's team.
Totally.
That was defense through and through.
Defensively won Super Bowl completely.
Yep.
My boy Keel's contention is that path to winning a title has closed because the rules are so focused on offensive advantages that there was a theory, run the ball well, play killer defense. The Ravens did it. That Broncos team did it. The Seahawks, when they beat Denver, they were defensively driven. They had a young quarterback that wasn't doing a whole lot then. But because of all these rule changes and the significance of them, that pathway really doesn't exist anymore.
Right. The one thing I will say about that team, though, is even Peyton – at his worst, and he was at his worst. I mean,
He got benched for Brock Osweiler.
Yes.
He got benched for Brock Osweiler, and he had a 0.0 rating in the same game that he broke Marino's record. So, like, it was terrible. But he was still smart enough that he could mask a lot of the deficiencies on offense, which you see Jaden doing in Washington. Like, that, the line wasn't exceptional last year. They didn't play the way they looked on paper, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
He masked a lot of the deficiencies up front. And I mean, that's what good quarterbacks do. I mean, we see it with Patrick Mahomes. You see it with Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson. They can hide a lot of the deficiencies with what they're able to do elsewhere. And I think that's the difference. And, like, you know, we saw it with Sam Howell. I mean, could you go from one extreme to the other overnight like Washington did? I mean, he got clobbered, and a lot of those were on him.
Yeah, it's just totally.
Specifically, John going to Minnesota, Kinlaw coming to town. How different does that D-line look, you think, Nick?
It looks a lot different, but it looked a lot different last year, too. Cause, I mean, John was out, what, 8 games, right? So, I mean, the defense is still a work in progress to me. I don't know if it's better than last year. I don't. I don't know how those guys are going to fit up front. I know they wanted to get bigger to try to stop the run.
They got bigger.
I mean, you get the Eddie Goldman signing. They haven't had a dude
bigger
like that.
He's
in a long time.
Yeah, I mean 320. I think they left him at 320. I've seen 325.
I think the last dude that size is like pot roast.
See, this is what I look at. Where, all right, John's best year he had double digit sacks, right?
Yeah.
And Deron's best year he had double digit sacks. Both of those guys were guys that you feel can beat the guy in front of them. They're more athletic than those guys, but they took sides. These dudes they're hiring now are not necessarily that type. They're guys that take
they're
you
different,
on,
totally different.
Square you up, and allow the linebackers to fill the gaps.
Yeah.
I think that they may not be overall better individually, but I think the sum of the whole will end up being better because they're going to play like they want this thing played.
I had to pull it up. John actually never had double-digit sacks.
So he was 9.5?
9, yeah.
Okay, so but it was like high sack time.
Right.
So, but when your guys are inside, if you're not Chris Jones and Aaron Donald like Jeff wannabe, then you don't get a lot of sacks. You have to take on people to allow the other people to do their job. And I think some of these guys they signed, that's the expectation.
Yeah. And I mean, that was a lot of what was missing on the D-line when they had – were first-round picks. They had a lot of individual talents, but the collective wasn't there. It wasn't working.
Yeah.
I do think, though, that they need to add more to their pass rush. I also don't know if Javon Kinlaw, he indicated he was not going to stay at the size he was last year. He was, what, like 320 with the Jets?
He said he was
going
to slim down, right?
Slow, yeah. And yeah. So he might slim down to closer to what he was in San Fran. But so where does he ultimately line up? I mean, there's and same for like Jacob Martin. He's more of a depth guy, but is he more outside linebacker or the end? I mean, it's some of it's semantics, but it's also how do they use these
yeah.
guys? How do they see them fitting?
Nikki, we've been kicking this around.
I watched him.
I think there's very clearly edge pass rush deficiency. Right? I think we can say that. And they can try to manufacture that, and we'll see if that works. But Brian and I have debated this for some time now. Do you think a big move remains coming?
I could see it. Totally. Totally. I mean, I've in only, what, a year, a little over a year with Adam Peters, I think he's done enough to surprise us. I mean, I didn't expect, you know, three significant trades in the span of, what, 6 months. And he played it fairly, I want to say fairly conservatively in free agency. I mean, Tunzel was a trade. He wasn't a free agent. So I could totally see it. I mean, they have the money. They don't necessarily have the picks. You know, but future years, you know, maybe they try to make another splash trade. Hello, Trey Hendrickson. Or,
I mean,
you know,
the Hendrickson thing just remains out there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And until
yeah.
that's no longer out there, until he gets a deal with Cincy or whatever happens, then I just, you know.
You have to wonder.
Until, and Washington's not the only one that's going to be hunting around on that. But until there is a finality, a closure to what's going to happen to Trey Hendrickson, I'm just not counting it out.
Right. No, I'm with you on that.
Like, these dudes,
how can you, you know,
stay in on everything.
They on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I also believe with Hendrickson and the Bengals, if they don't pay him, the longer this lingers, like, obviously this is a draft day, this is a draft weekend kind of trade, but like the Bengals' leverage decreases if Hendrickson...
Tremendously.
You know what I mean? The only I just wonder if Hendrickson's the kind of guy to really apply the leverage, because he played last year without guarantees on that deal.
Right.
Now, there were bonuses.
Yeah, but that's
stuff,
last year. That's that one more year. But when you go into the final year of that thing, that normally don't happen. That's when that player begins to say, oh, hell no, I gotta now force the issue.
Yeah. How old is he? He's like, is he what?
31.
Trey Hendrickson?
Yeah.
30, yeah.
I think he's 31
yeah,
by
that's,
week one.
That's the only thing working against him. And I feel like more teams have like gotten over
December.
The 30. What's that?
He turns 31 in December. So, he's 30.
Yeah.
But, dude.
I just don't know if the age will hurt his price point.
Yeah, it might hurt his market. But, I mean, Garrett just got bananas money. I mean, Danielle Hunter just got bananas money. Crosby, I think, is 28. It's not like, are we that convinced? And I think, I don't know. I mean,
the Commanders just signed, like, 20, 30-year-olds, so it doesn't.
Right.
They got a 37-year-old soon, so it doesn't matter. Age is just a number.
I think the sports science has advanced so much, and these guys, nobody shows up to training camp to play themselves into shape.
They
you know what I mean?
Shape.
Right.
It's
just
a different. The money's so big and the universe is so different. Now, could a major injury happen at any moment? Of course. But, like, Trey Hendrickson's had 35 sacks the last two seasons. I'm not expecting that to dramatically slow down this
right.
fall.
Well, if he dropped down to, 14, he had more than whoever was there before.
Right.
to be honest with you.
Nikki, who's your final four? How far you got the heels going?
Oh, they're winning it all in my bracket. I mean, that's like obligatory. When you pay tuition, that's like obligatory. You can't pick anybody else. I don't have a ton of faith I'm going to win this year. So, you know.
How did you feel about all the criticism Carolina got for getting in the program, in the tournament?
Some of it warranted. I mean, I was still livid about the loss to Duke. I mean, a lane violation? Are we serious?
All that would have done is tie the game, though. I feel like history has been rewritten inaccurately about this lane violation.
Yeah, but that lane violation don't give you much or nothing else. Don't do it.
All that would have done is tie the game, and Flag wasn't playing. So I'm just saying, just trying to point out the facts, you know.
He's hating on
minor details.
He's mad because Jeff beat Lanford picked Grand Canyon to beat Maryland.
Nah, Terps, baby.
Wow.
Nikki, we got to go. Thank you.
Appreciate you, Nick.
Thanks, guys.
All right. That is Nikki Jhabbala. Give her a follow at Nikki, N-I-C-K-I, Jhabbala, J-H-A-B-V-A-L-A on X and Instagram. We coming right back.
That said, want a brand new what on the episode?
Hold on. Is this freaking Nickelback?
Yeah.
Is it?
I don't know.
I don't know. Oh, yeah. This is Nickelback, baby.
That's Nickelback.
Turn this Canadian bleep
off. He's mad because Nickelback took Grand Canyon to beat Maryland.
Yo, bleep Nickelback, all right? Bleep Nickelback, bleep Landfill.
Landfill is a little ass, I'm telling you, dude.
He's a big ass. He sent
JP that Nickelback pick, what you call it, a picture of Nickelback. Then he plays the song to come back in.
I love it. The feud's getting bigger and bigger with Landini and UJP.
Sure, I had to cover him. I had to pay for him. Now, the celebrities are starting to arrive here. You hear the voice of Mike Beasley, MGM National Harbor's own Mike Beasley. Mitch Tischler is here.
Aaron Donald is here.
Hold on. In Aaron Donald's defense, he's slimming down. Jeff claims he's lost 15 pounds.
Where'd he lose it at?
I don't know, man. I saw him in the gym yesterday.
He does carry around a roll of quarters, so that maybe that helps.
Now, the Beavis and Finley non-public NCAA tournament pool.
Lanford is up to like 30 people now, though.
Hold on. We're going to reveal everything at 11:45. Keep it now.
I'm not saying anything.
We have a bracket presentation. Actually, yep. Jeff, can you – hold on, Bees. Can you come film this for us? Or Steph, can you? All right. Steph, we have a bracket presentation for you, Brian, because you've been very clear that you need a paper copy of the bracket. So Bees has – hold on, if you're
is that
this,
yours, B?
And there's my 20.
I don't accept that.
There's his 20.
I'm not accepting 20.
You didn't say what kind of 20.
If you don't have nothing on the back, can't have it.
You didn't say what kind of 20.
No, hold you on. Know what kind of 20
and
I mean.
I'm the biggest bracket
this on
buster
the
right here.
I mean legal.
Show everybody your bracket, Beast. I mean, what is that, 2x4? How big is that thing?
You a bigger ass than Landfill.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm not Nickelback, but I am big and bad.
Hold on, did you pick Grand Canyon? I'll throw you out of your own casino.
Grand Canyon.
Oh, my God, dude.
And you know I was going to take Grand Canyon regardless.
Oh,
I can't jump on.
All right, Bees. Everything is good.
You better hand
but
that
the,
in.
But the cash.
Chris, right, turn Bees' mic up,
we got the real
please.
Money for Bees now.
Chris, turn his mic up.
That is
all right, you
crazy.
Gotta, I guess you got to hand that damn thing in, dude.
Yep.
I'll fold it. I'll take it.
Damn it.
If you missed it, it'll be on the it'll be
as
on
soon as I
here.
Put this up, I knew it was going to be somebody.
God. Yo.
Scotty been trying to get in here since 10 o'clock.
Scotty walked in ready to go.
He is ready to roll.
Yes. Yeah,
or he's already rolling.
Oh, he's rolling already.
And I don't even know the cat.
Landfill, if you need a mic adjustment, just text me.
Just put your thing on. He'll tell you who. I don't know what he's saying.
So, seriously, what are some of the upsets you like?
I'm just going to start at the early games kind of right now. So, I like the unders. I always like the unders to get underway with the tournament.
I like unders. A lot of kind of, like, nervous energy early.
I think so, right? They're the very first game to start. So, Creighton, Louisville, it's under. I'm taking 145. The numbers moved up, though. Went from 143 to 145. I'm still playing the under in the game. And I like Creighton on the money line. I like all of the 9 seeds to knock off the 8 seeds.
What
just
does that
on,
pay, though? 130
it
or something?
Ain't paying much, yeah. You know, plus 120. But, you know, if it's a two-point game and I lose by 2 points, and you know, then I played the stupid role there. But that's where I'm at with the Louisville-Creighton game.
That's tip-off.
And I've been a big Louisville fan the entire season, but I really like Creighton in this game. I like the 9 against the 8. I think there's some crazy percentage out there.
Have you heard there's a conspiracy theory that I heard this morning that the committee accidentally just mixed up Louisville and Memphis?
Oh, wow.
That Louisville is supposed to be in the 5 seed, and Memphis is supposed to be in that 9 seed. And if you look at their profiles, it would make a lot of sense. Have you heard that?
I have not heard that.
Well, it could also be BS. It's the internet. Everything's BS.
Yeah, but that's, how can you make a mistake that big? I mean, you take a
It's the same mistake they made sending Maryland west and Arizona to the east.
They messed up Louisville and Memphis?
Yo, the rumor is.
Oh, the colors got them, huh?
Nah, I mean, they're different colors.
Yes, I'm saying, but how do you mix up that?
I don't get that. And you just got disgruntled fans that think that Maryland should not be where they're
at. Hold on. This has nothing to do with Maryland.
Well, you just brought up Maryland. You just said that.
I'm just saying the tournament screws people. It happens all the time. But my point here is more that there's a internet rumor. I sound like Jeff right now. Play the X-Files music, Slamville. but
like, and it's only against your state.
No,
and your team.
I'm talking Memphis and Louisville. Neither is my team nor my state.
But you use a comparison of Maryland going out.
How am I supposed to focus when you're sending those kinds of pictures in the text?
Landfill, you're killing me, dog. I know what I know. My reads is next. Okay.
Yo, what is the? Will you get down with any of the first to 10 bets?
No.
Those are nuts.
First to 10
points.
Yo, in the NCAA tournament, you can bet which team will be the first to score 10 points. And if you're looking for just a sweat, if you're just looking for some action, it'll your heart starts beating, man.
It almost gets like the Super Bowl. There's so many different plays you can make out there. You get convoluted, and the next thing you know, the game that you really wanted to bet, you're betting more on the coin toss.
But you know, you don't bet on those, though, man, the casual fan who sits
You know
down
me well enough.
I want to bet the little crazy things.
You know me well enough. You know season, I have action out
but
there.
You do everything, man.
Hold on.
You need help.
There are all right,
the season bettors are not talking about who first to 10.
Oh, yes, they are.
All of them?
Not all. All right, hold on. There are 16 games today, right? 16 games today, 16 games tomorrow.
Boy, he's getting really good with the math.
Yeah, I'm a math guy. 16 games today. Over under 22.5 individual bets Bees makes.
Oh, over.
What should that number be set at?
I think it's going to be under. I'm going to be probably around 8 or 9 bets.
No way. You've got.
Are we just talking hockey? Are we talking this? Can we include hockey and NBA?
Yeah, yes.
Dude, you said you got three ways on Creighton Louisville.
No, I just got the under in the money line.
Right, so that's two bets.
And another
I got the over in the Purdue game.
Four, three.
And I'm going to take in my favorite play of the early morning games, the three. I'm just telling you my three games set early.
Right.
And, yes, I will be on all three games.
Well, no, hold on. So your first three games you have four bets, and you're telling me you're going to be under 22.5 on the tournament
I think you
today?
Guys might have a little bit more accuracy than me. And I know I will be on Ovi tonight to score a goal. I think he's due, and he's getting so close, right? He's eight goals away.
It's funny. My buddy's trying to set up a dinner, and I'm doing my normal routine where I hope I can make it, but I'm not so sure, whatever.
In other words, he's not doing it.
And he's like, this is Cisco. He's like, what's a realistic time you could be there? And I'm like, 8 o'clock. He's like, don't you have a show? I was like, you're right, 8:30. It's like you trying to estimate how many bets you're going to put in.
That's true.
The number is north of whatever you think it is.
Well, here's the thing. If I'm winning, I might hit 35 bets. If I'm losing, I might be down a little bit. So just contingent on what the old
Well, it's over under 22. I'm taking over.
Yeah, me too.
All right, I'm happy to show you guys.
This is like the B. Mitch, how many drinks will he have at the Super Bowl bet?
No.
The limit is infinite.
The bet was me having how many beers I had in Ireland.
No, that was a different
bet. That was a different bet.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I destroyed the bet.
Quick break. We are running out of time. We will give an update to who got in to the non-public B. Mitch and Finley bracket challenge. Toby Altizer has arrived. I don't know if he has $20 or a bracket. We'll find out. All right, 12:30, J.I. Halsell is going to join us, kind of explaining this Debo deal a little bit, talking a little football. We're going to open these phone lines up at 1 o'clock. Tischler's here, completely uncertain if Chris Russell's actually showing up.
I haven't seen him yet. You know what? He might show up right around 1:59 with his suitcase. You know how he does.
I think Rooster will show up. What time? Like, if you were Chris, wouldn't you try to guess what time we're going to order lunch?
Huh?
I think Chris is going to try to get here at lunchtime.
He knows there's a restaurant, so he could get lunch at any time.
Yeah, but like, you know,
he's trying to see exactly when we get it for free.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. So the tournament tips off in about 20 minutes. There's a lot of excitement. Bar's starting to fill up. Folks are getting their bets in. My guy just showed me he's got $100 on Louisville
that
to
win
the
White
first
Brian.
Half. Our guy White Brian getting in on the race to 10 sweat. 10 cents to win 21. Brian, what makes you like Creighton to get the first to 10?
Ryan Kalkbrenner. Louisville doesn't have a guy to stop him.
What's his name?
Ryan Kalkbrenner.
Kalkbrenner?
Kalk. With an L.
Kalkbrenner.
Kalk.
Kalkbrenner.
Yeah.
So White Brian believes in Ryan Kalkbrenner.
This the 10-2 show, bro. we gotta get off of the other ones.
Just saying. What he said? I'm just saying what he said.
He said Kalkbrenner.
Okay, K A L K.
Kalk.
Okay, I got it.
If it sounded like
Ryan Kalkbrenner. White Brian, if I gave you $20 American to invest in your account and you could bet a little bit more, say instead of a dime bet, not a dime bag, a dime bet, you could bet 50 cents or a dollar even, would you be interested in that? I will stake you.
I don't want to lose any of your money, though.
He gave it to you.
I give it to you, and I get to reap 20% of the winnings. But the money is yours.
If you lose it,
there's no penalty.
You don't owe him anything.
Okay. Sure.
All right. What, you want me to Venmo you? I want this action in play today.
Look, so Brian is a guy who bets just for fun. Because betting 20 cents, 10 cents, you're not winning. You're not going to change nothing. So it's all about fun for him.
I can't imagine betting 10 cents on anything.
But I'm just saying, it's just fun for him. He likes just the thrill. And because you're going to, if he hangs around you, Rose is going to kill him.
Yo,
that's your wife's name, Rose, right?
Yep.
Don't hang around JP.
Can I add something? I think if he hangs around you, Rose might kill him too.
No, he won't.
Just because I'm trying to get him to gamble
I'll keep him straight. Get him home, you know.
Just like you've done with old Jeff Walker.
Jeff just came to my house. He thought he over-exaggerated himself all the time. That's what happened to him.
All right. Let's get a live update. Where is your cursive handwriting list of people that have paid?
I don't think I did all cursive this time.
Oh, great. All right.
So I have.
Yo, B's dropping papers and cash.
I got.
I'm showing for the stream, dog.
Man, you can't show that all. You can't do everything, dog. You know, it's like rules about certain things. So you got to learn how to relax sometimes, dog.
All right. Who all's in as of 11:51
a.m.? Mitch, JP, Landfill, Jeff, White Brian, Metal Chris, Biazzi, Greg. We still haven't gotten to lose money, so I ain't checking yet. Beasley, Curran, Big Mitch, Wildcard Scotty, Aaron, Valdez, and Toby. I'm waiting on Toby to finish up and bring his stuff over here.
So that's interesting. Below Mitch, I thought it said Wes, and Mitch has a good buddy named Wes, and I thought that was his boy Wes.
No.
But that's WCS for Wildcard Scotty.
Yeah, yeah.
Wildcard Scotty rolled in hot. Now, Commander,
are you hot?
Commander Tequila had tried to set up a link. We are not doing links. We're anti-link. We just want a good old-fashioned physical bracket.
Would you trust a link that Commander Tequila set up?
That's a fair question. Hold on. I believe Toby Altizer is going to officially hand in his bracket. Let me see that thing, Tobo. Give him the money. Toby Altizer.
Hypothetically, Toby gave me money.
Hypothetically. Hypothetically, I like Zins.
Toby, I'm going to take a picture of you.
Nah,
next time you release something, I'm going to send a picture to Lauren.
Lauren might know.
she already knows now, right?
All right, Toby's final four. Kind of chalky, but kind of interesting. He's got Auburn, St. John's.
Look who he picked again. They're killing you, Duke.
Duke and Clemson. That's a lot of ACC love right there. He's got one Big East team, two ACC teams, and the Auburn Tigers, War Eagle. Now, what I'm cool with Tobo about, he does have the Maryland Terrapins. No.
They beating Grand Canyon?
He has Maryland getting to the Sweet 16.
All right.
Which is the baseline for what is acceptable. And I'm really going to try to behave myself on this, B-Mitch, but
don't ever behave yourself, dog.
Well, there's a lot of things I want to potentially say about a potential situation that may or may not be going on in college basketball. And potentially what I'd like to say about, you know, say a dude hasn't been in his job all that long and has had one good team and is trying to leverage that to get a giant raise and pretend like he might leave for another job. Like, any coaches that complain about the transfer portal or NIL, when you play the same game, man, I don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
I think
just tell them Shut up.
I am speaking in pure hypotheticals, but like what appears to be happening to me hypothetically somewhere up and down the East Coast of America between a few colleges.
Can I choose which college I think it is?
Sure.
One in College Park?
I don't know. College Park, Georgia?
Nah. You say up this way.
What happens at College Park? It's where they chop cars. I'm just talking hypothetically.
Hypothetically.
I am not talking whatsoever about, you know, two schools connected by I-95 by about two and a half hours. I'm not talking about that at all.
Okay.
I'm not talking about a potential Big Ten and a Big East school. I'm not talking about that at all.
I am with you on
that. What's happening, folks, is leverage. You're being used. And that's okay. Everybody does it. It's a dirty-ass game.
It's dirty.
Let's just be real about what's happening here. Oh, boy. We'll be back. Tournament starts in 20 minutes. Oh, I see more cash coming in.
Oh.
The Cannon Club, boys. Oh. Nobody go anywhere. Oh.